Imagine a miracle in South Sudan. That was the title of a conference held on Wednesday by Solidarity with South Sudan, a consortium of over 200 religious congregations which supports development in the world's newest nation. Independence for South Sudan was declared in July last year. Yet since that time, the border area has been a constant scene of conflict with the north over oil, water, mineral resources, or the fertile grazing and agriculture land. Corruption in the new government is rife, while the needs of the people in the south are overwhelming. It's officially the most illiterate country in the world, and one in four children die before their fifth birthday. Hard to imagine a miracle in such dire conditions. Yet that's just what Solidarity with South Sudan is urging us to do, to see where progress can be made, to support the development progress, and in the words of one sister, to watch over the growth of this newest child in the family of African nations.
To help people know that each person is a person with dignity, and we demand to be respected, and that means I respect the others.
Sister Roxanne Shares is coordinator of the Justice, Peace and Integrity of Creation Network for her congregation, the School Sisters of Notre Dame. She's worked closely alongside Solidarity with South Sudan since its inception in 2004 and regularly visits the education, health and training projects it runs throughout the region. I asked her how it was possible to think of the situation there in terms of a miracle.
I guess it could be if you think that many people predicted we'd never have the separation, that people would never be allowed to vote, and they did vote. And there was the peaceful separation and a forming of two countries. I think there was also the hope that things would move faster in a better way than they have. I think there's been some obstacles and some very serious ones. And yet many people are living lives of peace and rebuilding their lives. When you go to some of the towns and villages, people are getting on with their life and they're making progress for themselves and they have hope. So we are challenged. I think we take a few steps forward and a step or two back. And I think this is where the international community is very challenged to know how to pay attention to what's happening and to get the real news. It's very hard, and I'm grateful that you present another view of what is happening in Sudan and the Sudans.
What would you see perhaps today as the most serious obstacles to the development of this new peace in the region?
Well, it's very hard to name one thing. I think it is the will of both countries to have a peaceful future as two separate countries. I think that's where we break down. I think there are so many competing interests. I think the resources, controlling resources, become obstacles. Instead of finding ways to collaborate, to cooperate, that both countries can move forward, I think we get into competition. And we don't know new ways of dealing with these obstacles. We go very quickly to breakdown and to conflict. For me, it's a challenge of learning how to respect and have two countries and cooperate and collaborate together.
As you say, your background is in conflict resolution and peace building. What kind of ideas is Solidarity with South Sudan pioneering on the ground to try and resolve some of these tensions?
I think one is to help people know that each person is a person with dignity, and we demand to be respected, and that means I respect the other. So I think we're working at the very grassroots to foster the healing that's needed so that we can move forward with respect and tolerance for each other. And I think to also realize that every person has a contribution to make for peace, and it's a matter of making choices every day of how I'm going to deal with a particular dilemma or conflict that comes my way. So we're working with communities, grassroots communities. We're also working with leaders, the clergy, the seminarians. We're trying to help even religious men and women who have lived through years of conflict and war to rediscover their potential to transform a society that has been fragmented, broken in so many ways.
trauma healing after so many years of war and conflict is also another essential component, isn't it? And it's present in all the programs that you're running there.
Yes. I think one thing is what we try to do is to accompany people, the groups, the students, to have them be able to tell their story. I think telling the story again and again and beginning to never, not to forget it, but to remember it in new ways, to find the ways that there are gifts that we can build on from the experience, although painful and very difficult. So I think it's accompaniment of people at various stages. I think we're also trying to empower the leaders so that they're able to accompany. The example I gave earlier about this women's group who have been trained, basic training in peace building, and now going around to meet women in of other ethnic communities to talk about their role as peace builder. I think that's foundational, and I think it's a way to transform the society.
You also look to education and healthcare as two of the crucial needs in the country today, don't you?
Yes, that's right. The needs are enormous. And so the way we're approaching it is to train professionals, to train teachers, to train registered nurses and midwives. That's where we're beginning. We could start a school, but without qualified teachers, what kind of school will we have? When I made trips into South Sudan, I would go and meet a teacher who is giving his all. He might have had only 4 or 5 years of primary school teaching himself, but he is willing, and he's not even getting paid for that, what he's doing. There are others where the classrooms are filled with children, but there's no teacher. So we're trying to approach it by preparing professionals in these two fields.
And yet the illiteracy level remains incredibly high. The lack of any kind of personnel to back this up remains incredibly difficult. How do you manage to remain hopeful in all this?
For me, it's two things. One is to face the grim reality. I think to ignore it, to pretend it doesn't exist, does not help anything. So facing it and then seeing that every step we make is a great contribution and that it multiplies. So while we might be training just a few teachers right now or a few nurses, they will reach out and train others. And that's what we hope to build the capacity and empower others to continue reaching out and building the capacity of others. And even in pastoral, one of the things we're doing is supporting the clergy to help them recover from the trauma of the conflict, to help build their capacity to then share with others in the community.
You've been talking here about the birth of this new nation, like the birth of a new baby, perhaps, and in the African tradition, calling on the responsibility of everybody, the whole village, the whole community, to help the growth of this new child, this new nation. What is your appeal to people? What is the responsibility? What can we do to help in this process?
Well, first of all, I think it's to try to understand the reality as well as we can, from various news sources, from people who have been there. I think to allow ourselves to be touched enough, moved enough, and be moved to compassion, that we will feel compelled to act, to respond. And then with our resources and with our realities, to see how we can respond. Every one of us can make a contribution, whether it's a donation of some finances, whether it's volunteering for 1 or 2 years. I'm newly out of the university. I can offer something. I think joining with others, because when we join together, which we're finding in solidarity with South Sudan, it's not just 1 plus 1 is 2. There is a multiplication of gifts now that we have to share. I always think of the scripture reading about the multiplication of the loaves. 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed thousands. So 30 women, men and women religious, can reach tens of thousands. And with our collaborators around the world, I think we can transform South Sudan, but I think we're also being transformed ourselves. And I want to say South Sudan has done probably more for me than I've ever done for the people in South Sudan.
My thanks there to Sister Roxanne Shares, coordinator of the Justice, Peace and Integrity of Creation Network for the School Sisters of Notre Dame.